Joining us now, representative for the Massachusetts 4th Congressional District, Democrat Barney Frank. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
So I just want to get you to respond. We finally have this 12-member supercommittee that was put in place as part of the deal to raise the federal debt ceiling to look for $1.5 trillion, I gather, cuts over the next 10 years. Why can these 12 do what various gangs of lawmakers working with the White House were not able to do between now and November?
Well, you asked me that question as if I was an advocate of the affirmative answer, and I'm not. I'm very skeptical. I did not like this idea. I don't like the idea of Congress delegating its responsibilities. So, in fact, I didn't vote for that particular proposal. So, no, I have no optimism at all. I will tell you what those who advocate for it say, and I tell you this again as their position, not mine. It is that the alternative to them coming up with something. And by the way, they don't only have to come up with something, as you know, then both houses have to vote for it. The president signs it. It is what's called sequestration, which would be very substantial reductions in all levels of government spending. And the assumption is that that kind of an across-the-board cut and everything would be so scary to people that they would give in. But I think there are insuperable obstacles to the 12 coming together, and so I am not optimistic.
You know, Barney Frank, who we're talking to, congressman from the 4th Congressional District in Massachusetts, I can't find any lawmaker, and I've looked, Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, non-Tea Party, progressive, non-progressive, centrist. I can't find anyone who supports this committee of 12 here.
Well, you should ask some of the people who voted for it. Actually, it was the creation of the leadership. And I'm not harshly critical of people that were in this kind of difficult situation. But to be honest, my own view is we ought to be talking less about the mechanics and more about the substance. And so my focus is on what I think the substance ought to be. I agree that we should have deficit reduction, although one of the complicating factors is that deficit reduction should be taking place beginning about a year from now. In the short term, we should be doing things that stimulate the economy, and those in the short term add to the deficit. What you can do, though, is, and this is what Ben Bernanke, George Bush's chief economic advisor, who's been held on, tells us, you do a short-term stimulative package within the context of a binding commitment to a longer-term reduction. So that's, and what I've been trying to do is focus on what I think that should consist of.
You know, the premise of the supercommittee, and I don't want to talk just about mechanics, but
neither do I, and I'm not going to talk about it much more. I didn't vote for it.
I understand.
It, and I don't understand why that's the focus.
Here's the deal, though. Why not just let those cuts go into place that are automatically triggered if they can't come up with compromise here?
I will say this. My view is that it's time to talk substance and not procedure. What happens is when people start talking about procedure, I have a lot of my colleagues who are in favor of cuts in general. They are in favor of deficit reduction in principle. But there's no such thing as deficit reduction in principle or cuts in general. I'll be honest with you, I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about a very substantial military reduction. The notion of our staying in Afghanistan and Iraq at this point at the cost of well over $100 billion a year. And the president, disappointingly to me, is talking about staying in Iraq even longer than George Bush wanted. I'm talking about substantial reductions in military in Western Europe, where we tell our wealthy allies that the Cold War is long since over, that they are capable of defending themselves, that we don't need to have tens of billions committed to the defense of our wealthy Western European allies against nothing. We don't need an anti-missile defense in Poland and the Czech Republic. And it's time to raise taxes back to where they were in the Clinton administration. And let me be very specific about that. To go back to the Clinton-era levels of taxation, where we had good prosperity for people above $250,000, I'm in favor of saying to people, look, if you make more than $250,000 a year in taxable income, for every additional $1,000 you make, the government gets $30. I cannot believe that $30 out of $1,000 over $250,000 in any way disables anybody. But as I said, I think that's what we need to talk about.
All right,
that,
fine. And we're talking about that.
Social Security. We need to get specific. And
Congressman,
talk about
Congressman, the defense cuts will go into place if sequestration takes place. They will go into place, but so will the entitlement cuts.
Yes, and that's why what I would prefer would be a set of proposals by us now, which go into place without sequestration. I'm not in favor of sequestration. I am in favor of Congress acting in the regular appropriations and taxation process to do these things. And particularly with sequestration coming, I think we have a chance, frankly, to talk about what tax increases would mean. And again,
who's going to talk about tax increases? Who's going to talk about that besides you?
I am, if you'll let me. And nobody will if nobody is everybody's afraid to. I think it depends on how you do it. If you talk about tax increases in general, people get very nervous. If you be specific, I am asking for $30 per thousand of taxable income above $250,000. That will avoid our not being able to go forward and build highways. It will mean that we don't have to cut research into cancer and Alzheimer's. I think properly posed, that gets a lot of support.
But the Republicans have signed this Grover Norquist pledge never to increase taxes, including the leadership and all the members on this committee. It's just not going to go anywhere. What pledge have you signed as a Democrat to counter that?
To try and talk substantively about these issues. And I understand your position, but I think that's what gets us in trouble. The time has come for everybody to say, in fact, I don't think anybody should be able to talk about deficit reduction without being specific. I want to cut back on the subsidy to NATO. I want out of Iraq and Afghanistan. I am willing to say with regard to Social Security recipients who have higher income, like I do, that the percentage of taxation on that Social Security should substantially increase. We could do billions that way. That's a way of getting money back from those who don't need it without a lot of bureaucratic interference.
Barney Frank, representative for Massachusetts' 4th Congressional District, ranking member of the House Financial Services Committee with substantive proposals that probably won't be a part of the super committee. But Barney Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.